We're saying goodbye to the Queen today, and full disclosure, I wanted to get a actual person from England's opinion and thoughts on this, so I have to tell everybody you're my next-door neighbor, and we've been friends for, what, about 15 years now since we moved there, man. It's been great. And you left England now when you were, what, 14 years old?
I was 14, that's right.
We're here in the United States where we have to change presidents sometimes every 4 years, sometimes every 8 years. But your whole life has been Queen Elizabeth, right?
Yes, that's right. And I think growing up there, I was born and raised in England until I was 14. And my father was, he was in the Royal Navy. And so we grew up knowing that the royal family was a big part of our lives in a way, as far as him serving under her, and her presence was always there. And I think even now, you know, I go back to England every couple of years. And the one thing about England or the United Kingdom in general is that it stays the same. It's a lot of continuity. When I go back, people are still living in the same places, still doing the same things. And the Queen was a lot of part of that, the royal family.
What you're telling me is if you get to be queen or king, you're king or queen for life, right?
That's right. Yes, yes. And so, you know, they're born into it. It's been like that for about 900 years. Whoever's next line of succession, that will be the next king or queen. Yes, so the king or the queen is born into the royal family, as we know, with King Charles now and Prince William and then Prince George behind him. And so it's something that they are just used to, and that's how they're raised. Now, the queen was interesting because she was not supposed to be queen. You know, her uncle is the one who gave up.
He gave it up for love.
He gave it up for love.
Yes, he did.
And so his brother became king. And so she was not expecting, you know, she was not raised for the first part of her life to be queen. And so that was kind of just thrown into it. And then her father died pretty young. So she really didn't have a lot of experience. She became queen at 26. And you think about, you know, you have a 26-year-old daughter. I can't even imagine having, you know, becoming queen, not just of her own country, but of Canada and Australia, New Zealand, and many other places. And so she decided from day one she would devote her life to her country and to her Commonwealth. And I think that's one of the reasons why people are so upset and sad about her death, is because she really gave her life for it and never really made a lot of mistakes. She was very steady. You know, duty is the big word that we use for her. She really gave her life and, again, her family to her country.
To service for
her
country.
To service, yeah. And, you know, people think that the queen is, you know, the whole royal family is a life of privilege and they get to sit around and they just have lots of money. But it's actually a very hard job. First of all, you know, you're thrown into it, so you have no choice. That is your life.
And everybody is looking at you.
Yes, yeah. Everybody. You're in this bubble and everybody is just looking at you can't really make a misstep. As we've seen, some people who have come into the family and everybody's watching everything they do. She really dedicated to doing her best, and she did. And she had, I think, something like 14 prime ministers come through in her 70 years.
Isn't that wild?
Yes. And, you know, she met with them every single Wednesday for 70 years and went through all those prime ministers, but she was the one that was just always there
the
and
constant.
Always the constant. It's funny, I asked my daughter, she's 14, the other day, she thought of the Queen, and she said, I just always thought she'd always be there, that she would never die.
Well, wasn't the Queen Mother, she lived to over 100 years
old.
She was. Man.
Exactly, yeah. Obviously, it runs in the family. She also was just the Queen Mother. She was a Queen Consort, a lot like Camilla will be. Mm-hmm. And so she didn't have the same duty. You know, it was the King at that point who was really the monarch. You know, I think it's just the fact that she was always there and we never thought she would die, really.
Yeah, really. Well, my boss wanted me to ask you, you're going to obviously watch the funeral on TV, right?
Yes.
Will you be dressing up for that?
No.
My boss is weird.
That's fair. But I probably will get my Union Jack out and maybe wave it. And I'll certainly sing along to play God Save the Queen the King. You know, and probably we'll get very teary about it.
Sure.
And it's going to be hard if you think about a national anthem that you've sung all your life and then to change the lyrics all of a sudden from God Save the Queen to God Save the King is going to be very strange. But no, I probably won't dress up, partly because I think it's at 6 o'clock on Monday morning and I will be driving my daughter to school.
And then come on, put your PJs on.
Yeah, I am going to go sit with my father. He's he's in assisted living, but he really loved her. And so I'll sit with him and watch a funeral with him.
How about your mom? She a big fan of the Queen?
She is. She is. Now, she's American, so she had different experience. However, she was lucky enough. She and my father were invited to Buckingham Palace in the early 70s for a garden party. So she has a lot of wonderful memories of attending Buckingham Palace and, you know, getting dressed up and everything. And then my father, he got to meet the Queen, and I believe you're going to put a photo or a video out.
Sure.
And she came to visit his ship and do a review, fleet review. And he was chosen to kind of escort her around and show her what they were doing on the ship. And it was raining that day. He was not allowed to hold her umbrella. You know, it was... he was not allowed to. She had to hold her own, I guess, because nobody could really... I don't know if that was... just not allowed to do that. But he was pretty nervous. You know, it was a great experience for him. So I have pictures of him standing right next to the Queen.
Well, Amanda, I appreciate you sharing all this with us. And I know, is there a big English community here in the Chattanooga area? Are you the only one?
I know I'm not the only one. Every once in a while I'll meet somebody or I'll see a British flag on a car or something. Yeah. But I don't know if there is a community. There certainly are Facebook pages of expats. And we all, again, I think it's, you know, anybody who's been born or raised in another area will always, part of their heart will always be with that other place. And some of your traditions or experiences will always be back in that home. And so for me, even though I've lived in America longer than I lived in England, my heart will still always be there, and it's still really special to me. So, and I think a lot of people who raised there feel the same way. But I'm also very touched by how many Americans were upset by her death. You know, she was not their queen. I was really touched by that, how many people reached out to me, and again, the people online. I think it was like they felt like it was their grandmother as well, and they really admired her
steadfastness.
There we go. And just loyalty, and the fact that she was always there. And she was also, you know, non-political. She was not allowed to take sides, so she was a constant. Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever had the drink that her and her mother used to have every day at 2 o'clock? You put a lemon in there, and you put some Dubonnet, and there's something else.
Dubonnet, yeah, Pimm's, I think
yeah,
it was.
Yeah,
Pimm's,
yeah.
Yes, yeah, Dubonnet. That's one of my mother's favorites. Dubonnet and lemonade.
Yes. That was the Queen's drink.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of English. I still buy English food, and
you don't own a corgi.
I do not. I think everybody would love to have a corgi,
oh,
and I'm so glad
dogs.
That they've been taken care of.
Now, I read a piece on the air the other day about the royal beekeeper, and he had to go formally to the hive, tell the bees the queen was gone, and that Charles will be the new king. Otherwise, they wouldn't produce any honey. Is there any truth to that? That sounds ridiculous to me.
I have not read or heard of that. I will need to read that one. but certainly the formality and all the traditions of England or United Kingdom, the things that they do, I wouldn't be surprised if it's true. I mean, maybe the bees don't really care, but as far as actually going and talking to them, I wouldn't be surprised, because you'll note that, you know, when the Queen died, they did a formal announcement, and there's been so many rituals and traditions over this past week. You know, it's amazing to see those things that have been around for centuries still being honored. And I find that very touching, watching the guards, you know, 24 hours a day around her coffin. it just is very touching. And then all the parades and again, all the people who are lined up for miles waiting to pay their last respects for her. It's just pretty amazing.
I have one last question for you. And this is just strictly your opinion. What kind of king do you think Charles is going to make?
I think he'll be a good one. I think the fact that he's 73 or whatever he is now, you know, he's waited a long time. Maybe 20, 30 years ago, it would have been a different story. But he's, you know, he's had a fantastic role model in his mother and has really watched and learned from her. And she gave up a lot of her duties the last few years that he took over. So he's had a lot of experience. He, you know, he's passionate about the environment. You know, it's very, very important to him. So that may be an interesting to see. But I think because, again, he's 73, he's not exactly going to rock the boat too much. He deserves to be king. I think a lot of people ask me, should, you know, they have skipped over him and gone straight to Prince William? First of all, that's not how it works. Whoever is next in line, that's who it will be. It is his choice if he prefers to give up the throne and abdicate and let William, you know, his son, but he deserves it. He's waited a long time. And I can't imagine starting a new job at 73 that you've been waiting for, you know, you really, and he's been working this whole time. But as far as actually taking on, he, you know, he deserves it. And I think he'll be good. I wish him well.
We all do. Amanda, thank you so much for coming into the station here and talking about this. This is really awesome stuff. And sorry the Queen is gone, but we're going to look forward to what King Charles will do.
Well, thank you very much for having me.